Welcome to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Leal, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. And today, I have a special message that the Lord has given to me. And if you are a child of God, if you love Jesus, if you're an end-time believer, an end-time Christian remnant believer, this message is for you. And today, we're not going to look at the news, but instead, we're going to look into the Scriptures. So if some of you have been hungry for a message from the Scriptures, some of you have been feeling dry, in a dry spell lately, or you're not where you want to be with your relationship with Jesus, if you've been struggling, if you've been discouraged or oppressed, or maybe you just need to be challenged with the Word, this message is for you. So I want to invite you to get your Bible. Try to listen to this message in its entirety, because we're going to look into the Scriptures. I want to invite you to take notes and also share this message with your friends and your family and your loved ones. If you have some family members or friends that have been struggling or they need a word from the Lord or a touch from God, then share this message with them. Now, this message is going to be focusing on where we are right now in the end times. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the clock is ticking. The divine appointment of God is in motion. And God has set aside the times for man. He has set aside his schedule. It is a divine schedule. It's prophesied. It has been predetermined. It has been pre-written in the Scriptures. God has an appointment with planet Earth because Jesus is coming soon. He's coming quickly. And world events are taking place that are leading us to the return of Jesus. There are events that are going to be arriving when we don't expect it. I want to encourage all of you to maintain your vigilance, or if you're not in the vigilant mode at the moment in your walk with God, my prayer is that this message will stir your hearts and stir up Christ within you. Because, ladies and gentlemen, as the appointment grows closer, as the waves of God's prophecy arrive on this planet, in your state, in your village, in your town, in your city, we need to be ready. We need to be laboring for Him. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on the earth? Will He, my friends? Will Jesus find faith in your heart when He returns? Will He find faith in you, in the passion that you have? Will He find faith in your decisions that are navigating you today and tomorrow? Will He find faith in the choices that you are making, in the commitments that you have? Will the faith of God be found in His people? That is the message right now, ladies and gentlemen, that He finds faith in you, that He finds His passion in you, His zeal in you, His determination and commitment in your heart. I know it's not easy. I know that it is difficult. We live in difficult days. This is the season of perplexity. So let this message challenge you and stir you and re-energize you for the things of God. It's the middle of the year 2017, and world events are navigating this planet into war. And with war, we're also going to see calamity. We're going to see earth changes and weather events that are going to try a lot of people. They're going to make it difficult to navigate. Even right now, there's a heat wave taking place that has taken lives. It's breaking records, but that's just one portion. We're going to have earth-changing events, but those are signs that God is sending to us to awaken His people and to bring back those that have strayed and who have wandered, who have lost their vision and their fervency and their zeal. In addition to that, God has sent messengers to warn His people to prepare. So now is not the time to be complacent or apathetic, because war is coming, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot stress that enough. And As we go into this message, we're going to look into the scriptures, into Bible prophecy, and see how bad it's going to be. Because Jesus said that men's hearts would fail them for fear when they see the things coming upon the earth. Great perplexity, confusion, heartache, and pain. So it's very important for God's people to be ready, because we are entering the night. We are entering darkness. The sky in the spiritual dimension has become black. So, ladies and gentlemen, in the darkness, God's people must have their lamps full of oil so that we can navigate the path that is before us. There's a lot of things I'm going to share on this message, so please set aside a dedicated amount of time to listen to it. Grab a pen and paper and take notes. If you might be new to this program, I'm Nathan Leal, and the website is watchmanscry.com. And you can go there to get other messages about things that are going on. And one of the things that I stress to do and I strive to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to bring the truth. The truth is what we need right now. We don't need words of pretend. We don't need to hear fables. We don't need to hear pep talks and motivational speeches from the heart and the spirit of man, because the spirit of man will lie. We need to hear words that will stir up God's people. We need to hear words from the throne room of God. So as you listen to these words, let them incubate in your heart and bear fruit unto the things of God in your life. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 21. And that's what we're going to focus on in this message. Isaiah chapter 21. Give you a chance to turn there. While you're turning, ladies and gentlemen, please remember to be praying for this ministry, for Watchman's Cry, for me, Nathan Leal, for my wife, Donna. Pray for us, because the assignment that we have is not an easy assignment, and it is met with a lot of opposition. It's difficult for people to hear words that are not fluffy, that are not seasoned and garnished with feel-good, ear-tickling fortune cookies about how things are going to be great for everybody. That's not the season we're living in right now. We are living in a season of duress. And here at Watchman's Cry, my goal is to bring messages that will touch the hearts of men. And my prayer is that by the time you get to the end of this message, God is going to minister and touch many of you that are listening right now. And that is my Watchman's Cry promise, ladies and gentlemen. I'm saying by faith that by the end of this message, the Holy Spirit is going to minister to many of you that have been seeking Him and you haven't been able to make a breakthrough. There are some of you that have been hungry for Him, but you haven't been able to get a taste or a touch from Him. But I'm saying by faith, and my prayer is that a lot of you will be ministered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to touch you in this message. And I'm saying that by faith, but I'm saying it because I believe it, because I have prayed over this message, and I believe some of you have been needing a touch from God, but you haven't been able to find it, but today you're going to find it. I say that by faith, my friends, by faith in the name of Jesus. And I also want to say this, if you do get touched by the end of this message, then that will prove and show that the Lord is with this ministry. So I'll let the results speak for themselves. And if you do bear witness with that and experience a touch from Him, then I just ask this, folks, please remember us with your prayers and with your support, because we can't do this without you. So write this down, folks. If you're touched from God, then show your support. If you're not touched by God and you say, Nathan, nice try, but I wasn't touched from God. God was not in this message. If you can say that with honesty, then don't support us. But if this message touches you and bears witness, then show your appreciation, because we want to bring more of these. So pray about it and ask the Lord. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. If you're already there, Isaiah 21, I'm reading from the New King James Version and also from the King James. Isaiah 21, 1. The burden of the desert of the sea, as whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. Verse 2. A grievous vision is declared unto me, the treacherous dealer that dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media, along the sign thereof have I made to cease. Now, what is that talking about? That is talking about the prophecy against Babylon in the end times. In the New King James, I want to read it from there as well. The burden against the wilderness of the sea. The King James calls it the desert of the sea, but against the wilderness. So the word wilderness and desert are similar. It's talking about the land that dwells in the end times. That is a wilderness. And this wilderness also abides within the seas. And that's what we can find in the prophecies about Babylon in Jeremiah 50 and 51. It is the land surrounded by many waters. But even though it is surrounded by water, it is still a wilderness. There will be a drought in Babylon in the end times. And for those of you that have been on this journey long enough, for those of you that have heard the teachings of Babylon, there's a lot of theories about end time Babylon. And a lot of those theories have bits and pieces that do have truth in them. But if we take a lot of the different ones and put them together, some of them disagree with the others. The traditional version of end time Babylon was that it represents the geographical region of Iraq over in the Middle East. But according to what we read in Revelation 17, end time Babylon is a mystery. She's a great harlot that influences the entire planet with whoredoms, with adultery, with the wine of fornication. She has great influence with commerce. She has great influence in the world of finance. She's very powerful. She buys the wares, the items, the products of the world. So she's a great consumer, and she dwells in the midst of many waters with a mixed people. And based on what I read with the prophecy of end time Babylon and where I am right now and the way that I am seeing this, at this point in time, I believe that the prophecies about Babylon have several layers. First of all, let's establish that. It's not just one thing. It's not just talking about the geographical region in the Middle East, Iraq. There's more to it than that, because it has layers to it. The Bible has layers. Prophecy has layers. And we can also see that the reference to Babylon, to end time Babylon, also calls her the daughter of Babylon. So we have another reference point, the daughter, and also we can read mystery. So if she was a mystery, and if it represents a kingdom or a region, but it's a mystery, then it's not just cut and dry, the country of Iraq where Baghdad is, because it's a mystery. So at this point in time, I believe that one of the layers of Mystery Babylon is the United States of America. That's where I am right now as I look at Jeremiah 50 and 51 and also some passages in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, as well as in Revelation and here in Isaiah. At this point in time, ladies and gentlemen, I see that it represents the United States of America. So if you are an American citizen in these passages, this applies to every American. And another layer also spans into the West. So it also affects Europe, our NATO allies. So Babylon, as I stated, has several layers, but the actual location of end time Babylon at this point in time, I believe, is found within the boundaries of the United States of America. So as we read these passages in Isaiah 21, we're going to see that there's a lot of similarities in end time prophecy as it applies to America, and also end time prophecy that we can find in other areas of Scripture. For example, in what Jesus talks about in Matthew 24, when he gave the discourse about the end times. Matthew 24 gives us a script of many of the events of the end times. We're going to see that we can also find Matthew 24 in here. We will also be able to find the destruction of Babylon as we read in the book of Revelation in here as well. In addition to that, it's not just a prophecy study about what's coming to America and to this world. This message has to do with the challenge of God's people right now. The challenge that I need to bring from the wall into the hearts of God's people. And ladies and gentlemen, my prayer is that these words would go forth and stir you to see that now is not the time for complacency. That's the challenge that I have. As we read the first verse, it begins, "The burden against the wilderness of the sea." Now, I find it interesting that Babylon in the end times is going to do a lot of horrible things. Babylon is the great whore. Babylon causes the world to be drunk with her sin, with the wine of her fornication. She leads people to hell. She leads people astray. Demons dwell in Babylon. Revelation tells us that. She has become the prison of hateful birds and unclean spirits, demonic entities. So Babylon is not good. Babylon is not a good country, but it is interesting that as Isaiah describes the coming judgment on Babylon, he doesn't say it as a celebration. He doesn't say it with cheer and with glee. He says it with lament. He says it in grief. He says it with pain. This is the amazing thing about God, ladies and gentlemen. God is love. Even though God is going to judge the world, even though God is going to bring turmoil and allow the destroyer to come to the world, even though he's going to allow cataclysmic events to come to the world, he doesn't do it with joy. God does it in pain. He does it because he's a just God. The scales of God's righteousness require punishment for sin. He must do it because he's a holy God, but he doesn't enjoy it. He doesn't do it without thinking about it. When God allows judgment to come to this world, he does it with pain. He grieves when he sees those that are against him. And verse 1 begins with this attitude, the burden against the wilderness of the sea. It's a burden. As the prophet of God was filled with the Holy Spirit, the emotions and the pain that went with this prophecy was felt by Isaiah. And he begins the second word, the burden against the wilderness of the sea. This is against Babylon. But declaring the judgment against Babylon was not done lightly. It was a burden. It was painful for Isaiah to share it. And we'll see this as we read on. As whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it comes from the desert, from a terrible land. So he's saying right here that a whirlwind of judgment is going to start in the south. It's going to pass through the whole land. Whirlwind, a tornado. A lot of God's people in these end times, in this season, have been seeing visions. They've been having prophetic dreams of dark tornadoes stripping the land, going over the land. I myself have had many of them where I see these black tornadoes appear. And as they ravish the land, they destroy everything in their path, and their swath behind them leaves nothing but ruin and destruction. I have seen them arrive in the Midwest. I've seen them arrive in the Northwest, in the South. I have seen the tornadoes come forth, ladies and gentlemen. These are storms that God is going to allow to come upon the land to punish the land. Isaiah says, as the whirlwinds of the south pass through, so it comes from the desert, from a terrible land. What does that mean? That means that another country is going to attack Babylon, and in this case, America, from a terrible land, a formidable land, a strong opponent is going to come. So Isaiah saw this, and in verse 2, he says, a distressing vision is declared to me. The treacherous dealer deals treacherously, and the plunderer plunders. Another word for the plunderer is the spoiler or the destroyer. It represents those spiritual agents, the watchers of God, that God will send to punish the land. God uses his agents, his messengers, his angels to destroy. He also allows agents of the enemy from the dark side, the destroyer from hell. We see that in the book of Revelation. He will allow the angel that holds the key to the bottomless pit to open the bottomless pit, and Abaddon will come out, Apollyon, to destroy. He will allow hordes from hell to destroy. When we look at the 10 plagues of Egypt, the destroyer went through with pestilence and destroyed the Egyptians. So the destroyer destroys. And Isaiah saw a vision of the destroyer. And so did Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 6:26, he said, this is a most bitter lamentation, for the spoiler or the destroyer shall suddenly come upon us. Ladies and gentlemen, God is going to allow hordes from hell to come upon America to destroy, to spoil, to bring ruin, to rob, to oppress, to besiege, to devastate and assault, and to bring ruin. And when Isaiah saw this, it was distressing. He said, a distressing vision is declared. The plunderer, the destroyer plunders. Go up, O Elam. Besiege, O Media. Now, Elam and Media, that's a prophecy of the very, very end of the tribulation period when Babylon finally gets totally annihilated by the Medes and the Persians. That's a prophecy about the very end of time. By the way, side note, ladies and gentlemen, the Persians will play a role in Bible prophecy. That's modern-day Iran. God is reserving Iran to judge America at some point at the end of time. I don't want to get sidetracked with that, but we read it right here. And it goes on saying, all its sighing, all the sighing have I made. What does that mean? That means the groaning within, his expression of grief, his distress. This meant that Isaiah saw the vision of Babylon being destroyed, and it brought grief to him because it was so horrible. Because when you think about it, ladies and gentlemen, Babylon consists of people. Some people are blind. Some people are led astray. Some people are asleep. Some people are in a slumber. Some people are apathetic. And some of those people on the surface may seem like pretty nice people because they have jobs. They interact with others. They work at the shopping mall. They work at the checkout line at the grocery store. They're the teller at the bank. Some of them are the plumber that comes to your house and unclogs your toilet. The end time population is made up of people who on the surface appear nice and civil, but their hearts are away from God. Their hearts are in animosity toward God. Their hearts are enemies of God. Their hearts refuse the things of God, but they're still people and God loves them. So as Isaiah saw the destruction and the death and the mayhem, it caused him to groan within. In verse 3, he goes on, therefore, my loins are filled with pain. Now, here's a mirrored reference to what we find in Matthew 24 when Jesus talked about the birth pangs, the time of sorrow, the earth is in labor. Here we have a reference, an end time reference to it. My loins are filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold of me like the pangs of a woman in labor. Now, this shows right here that it's an end time reference. It's an end time prophecy. This prophecy is about Babylon, America. And when Babylon, America is judged, it will be painful. He goes on, I was distressed when I heard it. I was distressed. Distress of nations. There's another end time reference. The distress of nations. Men's hearts failing them for fear for the things coming upon the earth. Isaiah says, I was distressed when I heard it. I was dismayed when I saw it. Now, that's very interesting. Key point, ladies and gentlemen, Isaiah saw the events with his spiritual eyes. He saw the destruction. He saw the mayhem. He heard the hearts wallowing in pain. He heard the mothers crying for their children, for their loved ones that were perishing. So as Isaiah saw Babylon, America get destroyed, it brought a lot of pain and grief to him. I was dismayed when I saw it. My heart wavered. Fearfulness frightened me. My friends, it is going to be so terrible that even the prophet Isaiah was stirred up thousands of years ago when he saw it. And if it stirred him up when he saw it in the spirit back then, how is it going to be before the eyes of those who witness it, before our eyes when it comes? How is it going to be? And what's the reaction going to be in people across the land? Will the reaction be to curse God or to cry out to God? Will the reaction be filled with regret? Will the reaction be filled with anger? God, why are you allowing this to happen? Why did you let it? Why, God? You know, when a tornado hits an area of the Midwest, over the past few years, we'll see some cities just get ravished with tornadoes and people die. Schools are destroyed, hospitals are destroyed, and people die. And when it happens, a lot of times people will ask the question, why? Why did God let this happen? Why? Doesn't God love us? Why would a loving God allow something like this? Well, God is sovereign and he knows why. Only he understands why and knows why. And it's up to us to have the faith to still trust in him. When God allows the whirlwind of the end to strike Babylon, America, and millions of people die, and when the survivors look up to heaven and say why, there's going to be a temptation to be angry at God. And ladies and gentlemen, if we do not have the proper spiritual lens and perspective, we can be led astray, because what if it's a loved one that perishes? Our family members. There's going to be a lot of turmoil and people are going to be struggling to process this. But we cannot be in the dark. We are not the children of darkness. The light of God's word must dwell in us. Because if it doesn't, then what we read in Isaiah chapter 8 will take place. And if you have your Bible, turn to Isaiah 8. At the end of chapter 8, it talks about the people seeking answers. And it says that a lot of them will stumble and fall and be broken. And they'll be snared and they'll be taken away. Those among the people who want answers will go to the wrong sources for answers. They will go to mediums and wizards. They will go to those who do not follow the scripture. You know, in these end times, there's a lot of cults out there. New Agers believe that the Earth is going to have a giant reboot. It's going to be reborn and rebirth. But first, it has to wash out those who are not worthy. And only those who are illuminated will survive. So some people will go to those sources and try to get answers, but they will not have the answers. Verse 19, and when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So during the time of judgment, if the light of God is not in the hearts of people, they're not going to have an answer. And it will also cause many to stumble. Because look at the next verse, verse 21. They will pass through it. Through what? The judgment. Hard pressed and hungry. Hungry for what? For the word of God. They will not have the word of God dwelling in them. And it shall happen when they are hungry for the word of God, that they will be enraged and curse their king and their God, and they will look upward. They will curse God. They will shake their fist at God and look up and say, God, why? Why did you allow my loved one to die? Why did you allow my baby to be taken? Why did you allow my child, my parents, my friends? Why? What kind of God would allow this? And they will be enraged and bitter and curse God. Verse 22, then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. Ladies and gentlemen, darkness will be a part of the end times. So we need to have the word of God hidden in us. There's a lot of interesting things on the internet right now, a lot. But we must have the light to understand what time it is, to understand where we are in the prophetic timeline of God. We are not in reprieve. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of fables before our eyes taking place. There's a lot of false theater taking place, trying to lead people astray. We must maintain our vigilance, folks. Verse 4, Isaiah 21, 4, Isaiah goes on, my heart wavered. Fearfulness frightened me. The night for which I longed, he turned into fear for me. Now, this is very important to see. Isaiah, the prophet of God, who in chapter 6 saw the Lord. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He saw the angels flying around God, and the angel of God took the coals and touched his lips and said, you are clean. When he said, I am undone, I'm a man of unclean lips, God touched him with a powerful encounter. This is Isaiah the prophet, that he knew God. He knew the holiness of God and the power of God. But as he saw this vision, he said, my heart wavered. Now the King James says panted, my heart panted, but that word means wandered. It means that it was staggered. It means it could have gone astray. The vision was so horrible that his heart wavered. So if Isaiah's heart wavered, now ladies and gentlemen, please see this. If Isaiah's heart could waver in his faith and could possibly be deceived or led astray, then how much more so could we who are abiding in Babylon even right now, who have to live enduring the spirit and the slime of Egypt, who have to navigate through the muck of this end time darkness. And some of you get slimed every day when you go to work, when you go to the store. That's why it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, to maintain our regular appointment to meet with God in the prayer closet, to be cleansed, to repent, to wash away the slime of Babylon. It's important that you do that, my friend, because otherwise that slime would turn into a crust, and that crust would get thicker, and it's harder to wash it off. So regular maintenance of our spirit, of our heart, to not become fallow and hardened, but to stay soft so that we can be tender to the things of God, to the voice of God. Isaiah, his heart wavered. It says, fearfulness frightened me. Paul said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. If we fear God and know that he can be the holy terror, then we will not fear the events that come upon the earth, because we'll understand that it is in God's control. He is sovereign. This is happening according to prophecy. So Isaiah said, my heart wavered, fearfulness frightened me. Then he goes on to say, the night or the dark for which I longed, he turned into fear for me. Now, what does that mean? This is talking about Babylon getting judged. So the night for Babylon that he wanted to come, he wanted Babylon to be judged because Babylon was bad. Babylon was evil. But the darkness and the judgment for which he longed for turned into fear when he saw it. This is how bad it's going to be, folks. Let us not be caught unaware. Let us not be caught without the light of God in our hearts when these events arrive. So what do? Prepare the table. Verse 5. Set a watchman in the tower. Eat and drink. And Isaiah at that point was being called to be a watchman. God was saying, Isaiah, you are a watchman. Prepare yourself. Arise, you princes. Anoint the shields. Oil the shields. Let the shield be ready. That means for all of us, we must all be situated at the right location. If you are the head of your house, if you have loved ones who depend on you for covering, it is your job to be awake and to be situated at your post, to lock the doors, the spiritual doors that have been left open in your house, to seal the breaches, to secure the gate by putting on your armor. So my friend, how is your armor? How is it? Is there rust on it? Is it heavy to pick up because you're not acquainted with it? Some of you don't even know where it is. You misplaced it. It's in the closet behind other things that are more important. It's in the storage, forgotten. My friends, uncover the armor. Go into your closet and find your armor. Open that drawer and pull out your armor, wherever it is. If it is pitted with rust, oil it and pick it up and then put it on. Let your arms be acquainted with holding on to it with confidence, because the spoiler is outside your walls. The spoiler is outside the city gate, and it's approaching with a horde. Anoint the shield. Verse 6, for thus saith the Lord to me, go set a watchman. Let him declare what he sees. In the end times, God is setting up watchmen. And the watchmen are supposed to say and declare what they see. If they see the rising dust in the distance from the horses approaching, they're supposed to declare it. And there are some people that have seen these things. And those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear will listen. Because when the watchman declares what he sees, the people then have a choice to pay heed to what they hear. And it goes on. And the watchman saw a chariot with a pair of horsemen with riders. And he saw another chariot with donkeys and a chariot with camels. Now, this is a description of the end time army from Persia that is going to destroy Babylon. In addition to the end time invading force that's going to destroy Babylon, between now and then are going to be many other hordes that are going to approach Babylon. There are many other whirlwinds that are approaching. There are chariots out there approaching. There are chariots that have already arrived, and some of the watchmen have declared it. But then there were others among the people that denied it, and they didn't listen. But the watchman is watching. In verse 7, it says, he listened earnestly with great care. Now, the first sentence of verse 7 says he saw the chariot coming. And then the last sentence of verse 7 says he listened with great care. So the watchman has eyes and ears to listen with effort. Great care requires effort. It means their heart is there. They're concerned with the images that are coming. And they're going to share them because they have been appointed by God, because God said, set up a watchman. God called them. Verse 8, then he cried, the watchman cried, a lion, my Lord. Now this is Isaiah. He says, I see a lion coming. A lion, ladies and gentlemen. In the end time narrative of Babylon, a lion will come. Now I have shared several messages about the lion in the end times. Revelation tells us that the beast spoke like a lion. Babylon itself worshipped an entity that was half man, half lion. Right now, it's very popular. There's a movement in America for MAGA, M-A-G-A, Make America Great Again. And the logo for MAGA is a lion. Donald Trump's a lion. Does he have any significance in these words? Is it possible that he is prophecy in action before our eyes? Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen? No, Nathan, no. Do not declare that. Well, I see it. I saw the logo. It was MAGA. It was a lion. I saw the lion. Nathan, that doesn't apply. That's not what it's talking about. Don't say that. Ladies and gentlemen, the watchman declares what he sees. I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I'm just telling you what I see. I saw the dust rise in the distance years ago. I've been up here on the wall for almost 10 years. I have seen the dust cloud coming. And whenever I saw a dust cloud, I declared it. Every time. And sometimes the people said, no, you lie. You don't see that. Ladies and gentlemen, the watchman declares what he sees and hears. Isaiah said, I stand continually on the watchtower in the daytime and have sat at my post every night. The watchman does not leave. Day and night, he's watching. Isaiah watched. He went on to say, and look, here comes a chariot of men with a pair of horsemen. A chariot of men came. Then he answered and said, Babylon is fallen. And all the carved images of her gods he has broken to the ground. Now, the prophecy about Babylon falling is found in the book of Revelation. At the very end of the tribulation, Babylon gets destroyed. But before Babylon gets destroyed, it becomes immersed in evil and in demonic entities, and it falls to evil. It falls against the principles of God. It falls. But while it's in its state of perdition and moral disrepair, she calls herself Babylon the Great. She boasts that she's great, even though the morality is gone. Even though she makes the world drunk with the wine of her fornication, she calls herself great. When I look around today, I see the rallying cry, Make America Great Again. I see the people wearing hats with the word great, and they put the hat on their head, and the word great is over their forehead. Make America Great. It's on their forehead. Revelation said the woman had written on her forehead, Babylon the Great. Ladies and gentlemen, prophecy is happening before our eyes. Within our eyesight, it is happening. And for those that have the ears to hear, will hear. When Babylon is destroyed in Revelation, up until the day it is destroyed, she thinks she is great. The week before, the people are going to and fro, buying and selling. Jesus said, up until the very time of the end, they'll be marrying, giving in marriage, buying and selling, living their lives like the days of Noah and Lot. They will be doing their thing. So the week before Babylon is destroyed, they don't know it because they think they're great. And before Babylon is destroyed, in this prophecy, verse 9 says, look, here comes a chariot of men, a pair of horsemen. We look in Revelation, we see the horsemen, the apocalypse. So the horsemen come to Babylon. The people thought they were great. The horsemen poisoned them. The horsemen unleashed their prophetic assignment on them. And then Babylon falls. Ladies and gentlemen, the narration of the end times does not happen with billboards. It doesn't happen with regular announcements on CNN, the lower third on Fox News. Attention, remnant people of God who don't believe the media because you call us fake news. But aside from that, attention, Babylon's about to get destroyed. Get ready. The kingdom of God does not come with observation. People do not observe the signs because they're too blind and they're taken astray and led astray by the cares of life and by the words of men who tell them different. That's the way it's going to play out. But God has assigned his messengers to cry out from the wall, to say otherwise, to say, don't go to sleep, to say, don't be apathetic, to say, don't believe the words of men that tell you to go to sleep, that reprieve is here, that you are great. Don't believe that. Because in the eyes of God, you are not great. You are mired in the slime of perdition, of destruction, of evil, of darkness, of things that must not be shared, of acts that must not be practiced. Babylon is fallen, and all the carved images of her gods he has broken to the ground. End time Babylon has carved images. She has her idols. There are many idols in America, in the West, in Europe, and the rest of the world. And God's going to bring them down to the ground. The idols, ladies and gentlemen, It's important that the people of God do not have idols. Get rid of the idols, folks. Get rid of the idols that God would destroy and cast to the ground. If there's an idol in your house, when the season comes to destroy all the idols, if they're in your house gets destroyed. So don't have them in your house. If they're in the hearts of men, the men will fall. If they're in the hearts of people, the people will be crushed to powder. Verse 10, oh, my threshing and the grain of my floor, that which I have heard from the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have declared to you. Now, there's a lot of you that are listening to me right now that are being threshed in your life. Jeremiah 51:33 says, Babylon is a threshing floor. God is going to use end time Babylon to purge his saints, his people, to purge. How? A lot of different ways. With financial issues, relational issues, health issues, circumstances. And while people are going through it, they may say, I'm having bad luck. Why? Why is this happening? Is God mad at me? Is God angry with me? Why doesn't he answer my prayers? When wheat is threshed in the threshing floor, the wheat gets crushed under a millstone, and then it's thrown into the air to break the outer shell so that the seed inside is then freed from the outer shell. God wants to break the outer shell of our temple, of the crust of Egypt that wants to attach itself to you, my friend. And the way that God does that is he will pour us out. He will hold us upside down and empty us of the salt that has become bland and rancid and unusable. God will pour us out. He will crush the outer shell. He will thresh his people. So the events that are taking place in the end times include purging, my friends. They include you going through trials. They include you having pain and tears. They include you sitting in the dark room alone, weeping, wondering, asking why. Why am I going through this? Why am I treated this way? Why do they hate me? Why am I rejected? Why am I abused? Why am I in pain? Why doesn't my body heal? Where's the answer that I believe needs to come? Where is it? Where is it, God? When will the tears stop? How long is the night going to last? How long? What is this night that I'm in? Why does it have to be so dark? Where's the light? Where's the rescue? Where's his peace? Where's his hand that's supposed to come? So many questions. So many of you are loaded down with burdens. The majority of you are living in a storm. Why? Because we are in the age of God's threshing. And during the age of threshing, if you are his child, if you are wheat, then you're in a storm. If you're a tare, if you're chaff, if you're a fraud, if you're an imposter, if you don't have Jesus in you, things might be great. You might hear these words and not understand what I'm talking about. What are you talking about, Nathan? Everything's great for me. It's always great. Well, then I would wonder, my friends, because during the days of the end, God will use Babylon to thresh his people. Now, there are seasons, and then there's a time and a place for everything. There's a time to laugh and a time to mourn. If you might be at a mountaintop at the moment, then thank the Lord for it and get full of his word. Get strong during this period of time. Be strengthened because the night is coming when it will be difficult to work. Jesus said so. The night is coming when no man can work. So work during the day while you can, my friend. But for the rest of you, if you're being threshed, if you're in trial and you wonder what is going on in the night, this message is for you. The burden of darkness has a reason. It is to look for the light. When the light is off, we seek the light. When darkness enters, we seek the light. God's children do. God's children want the light. In verse 11, now, I have said everything in this message to lead to what I'm about to say. So please hear what I'm about to say for you, my friend. Please listen to these words. Set aside everything you're doing and listen to what I'm going to say. Because this is for God's people in this late hour. In verse 11, it said, the burden against Duma. Now, Isaiah's up on the wall. He has the burden of the judgment upon the land. Duma was an area that is found in the same area of ancient Iraq. So he's saying it again. There's a burden against them. And then he calls me out of Seir. That's Edom. A voice of a person in Edom. These are the people. A person that is awake. A person that knows the watchman has a job to do. A person who was there cried up to Isaiah. He saw Isaiah on the wall and he cried out to Isaiah. And he said, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The person was asking Isaiah, why is it nighttime? Why is it dark? What's going to happen in this darkness? You're up there, watchman. You can see. Tell me, what's going to happen in this night? Because it's dark right now. And I can feel the burden. I can feel what's happening. I look around, but you're up there. Watchman, what is happening in this night? What's going to be the outcome of this night? Is the night going to end? Is it going to continue being scary? This person asking Isaiah was desperate. He wanted to know. He sought the answer because he needed to know. Tell me, Isaiah, how dark is it going to be? Because it's pretty dark now. Can you help me out here? In other words, is there any hope? Is there any answer? Is there any good news? And Isaiah looked down from the wall. He looked down at the person down there that was desperate. And Isaiah said, the morning comes, but also the night. That was his answer. And then he went on to say, if you will inquire, then inquire. If you have a question to ask, go ahead, ask me. But this is my instruction. Return. Come back. Now, what did that mean? Isaiah said, the morning comes. Now, he's being asked in the darkness, what of this night, Isaiah? How bad is it going to get? What about the night? What do we do in this night? And Isaiah said, the morning's going to come, but it's still going to get dark again. What did that mean? When John the Baptist's mother was pregnant with him, his father, Zacharias, who was a priest, was told by the angel that his name was going to be John and he had a mission to do. He was going to blaze the trail for the coming Messiah. And when Zacharias heard the prophecy, he had some doubts, so the angel muted him so he couldn't speak. And then when John was circumcised and they asked what his name was supposed to be, his mother, Elizabeth, said his name's to be John. And then they asked Zacharias and he said, yes, his name is to be John. He wrote it down. And when he wrote John, his voice came back. And then he started prophesying about his son, God's messenger. And we find this in Luke chapter 1. And he gives a prophecy from verses 68 through 79. But in verse 78, he speaks of Jesus. And Zacharias said, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Zacharias prophesied that Jesus is the day spring. Jesus is the light to give us relief from darkness. Jesus is the light. So even though it's night and even though it's dark in the end times, there is still a light to be found, and he's the day spring. He's Messiah. He's Jesus, our Savior. He's the one that came and died. He's the one that gave this prophecy to Isaiah. He's the one that gave us the words to warn us. He's the one that sends his Holy Spirit to convict, to woo you. Jesus is the morning. He's the morning star. So when Isaiah looked down to the man and said, what if this night? How am I going to survive in this night? Isaiah said, the morning comes. In other words, Messiah is available for you. Messiah can bring light to a darkened heart. Messiah can bring the answer to you who's being threshed right now. Because he said the morning comes, but also the night. The night is still going to be here. We are dwelling in night, but in the night we can find the light of God. So my friend, as you're hearing these words, for those of you that know that we're in darkness, for those of you that are going through turmoil, for those of you that are immersed in pain and in trial and you're being poured out and you're being threshed, the day spring is available for you. The day, the light of God. And I'm not just talking about a flashlight or a beam of light. I'm talking about Him. Jesus is available to the residents of Babylon while we dwell in darkness. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what do I do in this night? And the answer from this watchman says, find Jesus. Find the light. Because Isaiah went on. In verse 12, he said, if you will inquire, inquire. In other words, you can keep asking. You can keep asking. Here's the answer. Return. Come back. That's the answer, ladies and gentlemen. In this late hour, our assignment is to come. In Hebrews 4:16, the Word of God tells us, come boldly before the throne of grace. That's what God wants from you, to come boldly to Him, to come boldly to the throne, to the foot of the cross. Come boldly to Him. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus wants His people to come to Him in this dark hour. Jesus wants you to come to Him. Nathan, I have come to Him. I come to Him all the time. Well, then maintain it, my friend. Continue coming to the Lord. 1 Peter 3:9 says, God wills that all should come to repentance. So what is your assignment in these end times, my friend? No matter who you are, no matter where you live, no matter what your address is, and no matter what your financial situation is, whether you're rich or poor or powerful or lowly or commoner, it doesn't matter. Your job is to come to the throne of grace and to come to repentance, because the hour is late. And in the nighttime, there's nowhere else to go. When Jesus told His disciples that unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part of me, and a lot of them left, over 100 people left of His followers, because they could not bear what He was saying. They didn't understand what He meant. What He meant was we needed to partake of Him in the Spirit. We needed to totally consume Him with our life, 100% in commitment within our hearts. But they didn't understand that. And Jesus turned to Peter, and Jesus said, Peter, are you going to go with them? Are you going to walk away also? And Peter said, Lord, there's nowhere else to go, because you have the words of eternal life. Who else has that besides you? I can't go anywhere else. And my friend, that is the attitude for all of us. There's nowhere else to go. And if there's nowhere else to go, then let us go to Him. And Jesus is saying even right now, come unto me. Come unto me. And God's not saying to come to a spiritual, intellectual relationship with Him, which is where some people are in their Christianity. It's in their heads. It's not in our heads. It's in our hearts. And in the book of Hebrews, and with this I close, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18, says, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire. We have not come to a burning mountain like we saw during the time of Moses. That's not what we have come to, a physical thing. But instead, and my friends, this applies to you. Every one of you listening, this applies to you. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the city of the living God where He dwells. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable host and company of angels. You've come to that. You've come to something so glorious, a company of angels that dwell in the city of God. And you've also come to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, whose names are registered in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all. That's who you've come to. That's what He wants you to come to Him. And by coming to God, the judge of all, then we also come to the spirits of just men made perfect. People who have gone on, your dearly departed loved one, your father and mother who taught you the things of God, who have now gone on to join the spirits of just men made perfect. And you've also come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Jesus is the one that stands in your place, in your stead, and he defends you when the accuser comes. Jesus intercedes for you, my friend, because he loves you and he cares for you and he knows what you're going through. He knows your situation. He knows the battles that you have been in. He knows the failures. He knows it's been hard, but he also knows that he has provision for you to be forgiven, for you to be restored, for you to be reconciled, for you to be reborn, for you to see that his loving kindness is new every morning, for you to discover him in the morning and at night. Jesus is the mediator because he shed his blood. You have come to Mount Zion, my friend. That is your address in the future. This world is not your home, because all of those who went before you, they sought a city whose builder and maker is God. And like them, you also seek that city, because that city waits for you. That city has an address for you. That city has a reservation for you. And even though it's hard right now, and you're struggling, and it's nighttime, and it's dark, and you're burdened down, and it's scary, God has made provision for you, and he wants you to know that in the night, if you were to cry out to Isaiah, "Watchman, what of the night?" Hear these words, my friend. The day comes. The day spring is available for you. The light of God is available for you. The ointment of God is available for you, because he can provide for you. He can bring peace that passes all understanding. He can set you free of the burden. If you might be struggling with heavy weights and bondage, God can break those yokes. Jesus can do it. He's made the provision. All he asks is to come, return. Some of you listening to these words need to return. You've lost your first love. You're not where you used to be. Or maybe it's been a long time, or maybe you forgot. But it's time to return, my friend. The time is now, because we're in the night. And Jesus is calling his people. He's calling with his loving kindness because he loves you. He can forgive you. He can strengthen you. He can encourage you. He can bring the peace. He can bring the answer. But it is time. As the Holy Spirit moves, he is wooing you even right now. Answer the call and say, "Yes, Lord, I am coming to you. Yes, Lord, I answer the call. Yes, Lord, I submit. Yes, Lord, I'm going to trust in you, even though I don't understand. Yes, Lord, I come to you." As you come to the cross, lay your burden down, my friend. Lay it at the foot of the cross and seek his face. Let him cover you with his love and his peace and his anointing. And as he does that, he's going to break the crust of hardness. And some of you that haven't felt his presence in so long, allow him to break the crust and soften it. Heavenly Father, touch every heart, even right now, as they seek your face. Because you're our dwelling place. We want to dwell with you, God. We want to dwell in your arms. So take us in your arms, God. Take us in your hands and have mercy. Have mercy on every person that's crying out to you right now. Have mercy on them, God. Do miracles for them. Strengthen those that need strengthening. Forgive those that have strayed. Woo the hearts of your people back into your fold. And we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God, my God.